Thanks, John. So let's return to the petitions. You know, we received these very recently. I'm not sure if how the department proposes to proceed, if you want to address them, if we should, maybe we should, we could ask questions, or if we have comments for those who made the presentation. I don't know what the department would propose. How would you like to proceed?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. We are ready to proceed and have those discussions with you today to address all three of the petitions. You've had the folks that have submitted the petitions the opportunity to speak and present their petitions. If you're ready for the department to come in and interject and provide our stance and position where we are at, we're ready to do so, pending how you'd like to proceed.
Okay, well then let's just take them in the order that they're on the agenda. So number 9 is sage grouse.
Yep.
So, and Eric, this was yours, right?
That's correct. I was the original drafter of the petition, and also Prairie Hills Audubon Society is a co-signatory on the petition.
So if others have questions, I have a few. Anyone else have questions they'd like to ask Eric? You know, since these are relatively recently received, one of my questions is, who or what is the Western Watershed Project that you're here representing?
Western Watershed Project is a nonprofit 501c3 environmental conservation organization. We're west-wide in scope. So we basically go from the Dakotas all the way west to the Pacific Ocean. And our mission is to protect and restore wildlife and watersheds throughout the American West. And we principally focus on public lands.
So does it have members, or, you know, I'm perhaps more familiar with South Dakota Waterfowl Association. It has members, and there's membership dues, and they have meetings and that sort of thing. Is that how your organization is set up?
Yes, sir. We are a membership organization.
How many members do you have?
We have approximately 2,000 paid members and approximately 12,000 supporters.
And then when you come and address an issue like this, do you survey those members or not?
Generally speaking, no. We keep our members up to date on our activities through our newsletters and electronic communications. We do get membership feedback frequently from our members, and we do have a board of directors, of course, which directs our organization, which is made up of members.
So attending some WAFWA meetings in the past, the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, if I said that right, and they focused quite a bit of time and effort on the sage grouse, and I wondered if you were part of that.
I have attended WAFWA meetings at some times in the past. I'm not always able to get to them, but I have been to one or two.
And how about their approach? What did your organization think of that?
WAFWA is primarily a kind of an interagency association of state agencies. And so basically, it feels to me that generally speaking, WAFWA is an information sharing entity where they have discussions and presentations, and they bring in scientists to present their scientific research, and there are discussion groups to talk about and compare and contrast different state agency approaches. WAFWA, it's been, I think, since 2006, since WAFWA stepped out and put together a big literature review on sage grouse. So it's really an information-sharing entity more than anything else, I would say. If you're looking for the entity that to make recommendations on how to proceed on sage-grouse conservation, There was a national technical team that was convened in 2011 by the Bureau of Land Management, and it was heavily represented by state wildlife agency experts on sage-grouse. And that national technical team report has been attached to our petition, and it does include a pretty strong set of recommendations by mostly state agency, but also there are some federal agency scientists that reviewed the entire body of sage-grouse literature and then rendered recommendations on how to best apply conservation measures.
So I just have a couple more. Have you talked with the department, the South Dakota department, about your petition and proposal and its approach to sage-grouse? Because we've been addressing that now for several years.
I have not. I did avail myself of the opportunity to attend the webinar about a week and a half ago on the South Dakota sage-grouse plan, however.
And
you did provide some feedback, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't dominate this. Are there any states or does anybody have a sage-grouse on an endangered species list?
I believe the state of Washington has the sage-grouse on their endangered species list, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that the only one?
I believe that's the case, but I'm not sure about California.
What's your impression as to why the other states haven't put it on the endangered species list?
Oh, I think it's, many of the states don't actually have an endangered species law, as South Dakota does. So, for example, Wyoming doesn't have one. I don't believe Colorado has one. So it's a relatively short bench of states that actually have one of those on the books. As to whether there are states that have those laws that don't have the sage-grouse on them, I can't answer that question in any great detail.
Okay, well, thank you. Anyone else have questions, comments before we turn to Tom, I think?
Gary.
Yes, Travis.
Mr. Beast here. Eric, currently the state of South Dakota does not have a sage-grouse season, so we're already taking steps to preserve these birds. Has your organization or anything or the people you're with reached out to the private landowners or the state to help do habitat improvement, or was the goal just to get them put on the endangered species list?
Well, ultimately, and again, our organization focuses primarily on federal land, so we do very little work on private land issues. What we see as the logical outcome to an endangered species law listing would be the initiation of the kind of state sage-grouse plan that the state of Wyoming has in place already. And that would be the vehicle that would be probably put together by the state Game, Fish, and Parks department that would be more appropriate to start to scaffold the voluntary conservation measures that are going on today with some measurable and science-based regulations that would then help the habitat increase and improve in function such that it would support a recovery of the greater sage-grouse.
This is Nancy.
Nancy, we're going to limit this now to commissioner questions and observations.
Just to my thinking, during Nancy's presentation or on them slides, there's just a couple hundred thousand acres of public land that's in this area, and there's over 700,000 acres of private lands. And by the state not trying to put these enlisted, I would think if your organization reach out to the private landowners, which is the majority of the property, to help them improve the habitat, and that would put a recovery out there faster by being able to do more things by not being regulated by the federal government. That means we could be working together here at home with our own people and in improving the birds and the habitat that way than going with the federal designation. Thank you.
We appreciate your perspective.
Any other commissioners have questions, comments? Commissioner Whitmire?
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Thank you, Eric, for the all the details and back information. As I was listening to you and looking at everything, one of the considerations, I think it was 75% of the lands you were looking at were private lands. I guess I wouldn't feel ready at this time to put any kind of burden on any private landowners or whatnot, and without further information, I guess, and looking at sage-grouse, meaning that the department have more time to look at the sage-grouse population and what our alternatives are if we can't grow that, similar to Commissioner Beast, I guess, when he was mentioning working with landowners. We have some habitat programs already, and I guess I would prefer that the department have some time to look at utilizing some of the new funding that we've got to work on that before taking a step such as listing this as a an endangered species.
Other questions, comments? Well, we do very much appreciate you coming today and giving us all that information. Now I think we turn it to Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, very good. Well, and again, good afternoon, everybody. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. And this is a long and historical conversation, to say the least, when you talk about sage grouse and the efforts that have been put into this particular species, more from the standpoint of a federal level, but certainly trickles down to a state level. I can share with you, commissioners, myself alone, I'm not even sure how many national and statewide sage-grouse conservation meetings I've been to between WAFWA and being part of the Western Governors Association, sitting on that. This has been a long, ongoing discussion all the way back to 2006, as Mr. Mulvor demonstrated and talked about briefly just a few minutes ago. Here in South Dakota, you know, it is somewhat of a unique circumstance and situation that we're in, and some of that information was shared earlier. We as a state, although we have a very, very small piece of the overall range-wide distribution and dispersal of sage-grouse in North America, we've always taken the approach that we were going to be part of that overall effort, even though we might be very, very small in the grand scheme of things. But with that approach, we have also been under the conscious approach of, we never really went down the path of being strong and really pushing the regulatory mechanism side of things. It has been, the focus has been through voluntary conservation, and in particular working with those private landowners out there, just because of that very reason that was described a few moments ago, of approximately 75% of being in private ownership up there in the northwest part of the state. So it has been a conscious effort in going that direction. We do believe that we can make progress in that approach. We have had numerous conversations with landowners. We've had numerous conversations with our federal agency partners, in particular Bureau of Land Management as well as U.S. Forest Service. As many of you know, BLM, Bureau of Land Management, through their resource management plans, they do include and have some regulatory mechanisms in there on their federal properties. But as a state, we've always taken the approach, we're taking the voluntary conservation approach. We believe wholeheartedly in that, and we believe that we can be very successful in that. And we would also be the first to recognize there's still work to be done. One of the reasons that we believe that is the right approach is for building partnerships and relationships here in the state. We've met with landowners up there in the Northwest, and I can honestly tell you that if we were to move forward with a recommendation and a step of putting sage-grouse as a listed species, even at the state level, that would provide barriers, in my opinion, to getting good conservation done that would benefit sage-grouse on private land. So when we look at this overall approach, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, our recommendation would be to deny the petition. There are valid points in respect to sage grouse. We do not disagree with that. It has been a challenge from a management perspective because we have seen these numbers on a steady decline. Now, that is not only in South Dakota. That is in many parts across the sage grouse range. But right now, we're in the steps of revising the management plan. As individuals had the opportunity, as we held a call last week with landowners and interested parties and other partners, we're in the process of revising the sage grouse management plan. We do believe it would be somewhat premature to make a decision to put on a state threatened status until we go through the management plan itself and have those discussions and appropriate revisions. You know, listing it as a threatened state species, the primary point that that would do, or the primary result, would be to eliminate that take that could occur on sage grouse, in particular through hunting. As was mentioned in this discussion a few moments ago, we've had a closed season essentially since 2013. We had 1 year in between there where we did have a very restricted sage grouse season, and there was only a small number of birds that were harvested in that. Through that time frame, though, other than that 1 year, we have had a closed sage grouse season, and that's one of the things that we're going to look at very closely through the revision of the state sage grouse plan. So by having that closed season, we are already taking the steps from the standpoint of reducing or minimizing that take, at least from the hunting perspective. One of the things that we have done as a state and as a state wildlife agency, again, talking about voluntary incentive-based approaches, habitat has been the key part of this. We work with our federal partners and looking at ways for habitat. One of the key items that we have done at the state is we've actually partnered with Pheasants Forever, Natural Resource Conservation Service of USDA, to place a farm bill biologist out in Belle Fourche, which solely focuses on the Sage Grouse Initiative, which is an initiative through Natural Resource Conservation Service. This biologist position works hand in hand with private landowners out there to implement grazing management, fencing, to be more friendly for sage grouse as well as other wildlife. And so that has been one of our key approaches, as I mentioned earlier, from a voluntary incentive-based approach. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, I certainly applaud the concerns and interest in sage grouse in South Dakota, because it's certainly an interest of ours as well. We continue to work with our federal partners, private landowners as partners as well. But we do believe that taking the action and putting it as a state threatened species would only produce more of a barrier and hinder some of our relationships and partnerships that we've built. And if the primary purpose would be to reduce that take, I would contend that that is already happening with a closed season. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to you. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the department would recommend denial to the petition.
Thank you, Tom. Questions? Comments? If not, we will need a motion. It's one of those issues where we have to accept or deny.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, again, Tom Kirschman, depending what action and direction you as a commission want to go, again, if you decide to move forward with a denial, we will certainly assist you in drafting up a resolution that you would then have to pass. We can certainly do that based on any key points or discussion topics you may have. If you decide to go that other direction, then we would assist you in moving that forward in the rule promulgation process. So just wanted to make sure that that was clear again for you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tom. Right, so we will need a motion.
Commissioner Locken here. I would move to deny the petition at this point in time and encourage the department to keep working on the situation.
Is there a second?
Pringle second.
More discussion? Any more discussion? you know, from what I've seen, the department and the commission have paid extra special concern to the sage grouse, looked at it very closely, give it a lot of time and attention, trying their very best to do the best they can, and it's been a conservative approach, which I think everybody would agree is the right approach. So anyone else have any comments, questions? If not, Rachel, will you call the roll?
East?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor to deny.
Chairman, I will work with John Kotilnik, our department counsel, and pull together a resolution for you commissioners to look at. Most likely would be tomorrow to take the action on that until we would pull that together, but we'll bring forward a resolution for your consideration.
Great, thank you. So let's take the last two petitions, then we're going to take a break. So then we'll come back and take marketing questions and comments after the break. But, so we go to the beaver trapping. Tom, is that yours too?
Yeah, I'll probably take the lead on it. And then if the commissioners have any questions, either myself or other staff can try to answer any questions that you may have, if that would work for you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, that works.
So again, appreciate the folks bringing this conversation forward. And, you know, beaver trapping is an interesting one, a difficult one to balance. A lot of the conversation today in respect to the petition does focus around and how that involved and how that relates to beaver trapping itself. There's many reasons, and some of them are historical. For the reasons why beaver trapping,
they don't have to show up, they don't have to, yeah.
Can you mute your mic, please? Thank you. So it was also brought up from the perspective of the Forest Service and an indicator species in the Black Hills, and we certainly recognize that, and we do coordinate and work with Forest Service on those management type related activities. Yeah, it can become a little cumbersome, and what it looks like in the definition of the areas where it's trapping in the hills. And we can always take a look at that and see if there are some other means or ways to further streamline that so it's not quite as complex. And I would offer to you, Mr. Chairman, that's something that we can do as an agency moving forward. But in respect to the overall change to the dates of beaver trapping in South Dakota, in particular in western South Dakota, the petition did ask for shortening that up so it would not be year-round. Certainly one of those challenging management activities. I can understand the reasons and rationale and the concerns in respect to the river otter. We see that as well as we've had the discussions about river otter right now, and we'll talk about it later on in the commission meeting in respect to the river otter management plan. Right now, as an agency, we do not see efforts to do reintroductions out in the western part of the state. Right now, the approach is going to be through natural migration and filling those. Again, we probably have some more work to do looking at some of those respective habitats and those things, but that is our overall approach, which is identified and clearly stated in the River Otter Management Plan. But the trapping available out in western South Dakota also is a thing for those landowners and other entities that deal with issues that do come with dams being created by beavers, whether it's property destruction, removal of trees. There are instances where they have to deal with other infrastructure, whether it could be roads or some of those things that could be damaged. And throughout the years, this has seemed to be a fairly utilized. Beaver numbers are still strong in western South Dakota, but it's also that opportunity to address some of those issues. Also from the standpoint, we will continue those dialogues and discussion with Forest Service and see about locations in the Black Hills where we can make adjustments and changes moving into the future, as we certainly understand some of their priorities as well. But at the end of the day, it's the state wildlife agency and you, the commission, that ultimately has the authority and the ability to set the management and season approach when it comes to beavers. So, Mr. Chairman, what our recommendation is to the commission is denial of this petition as well. We believe the current structure that is in place is working. And again, we are more than happy to continue those conversations and discussions if we believe that there are some areas that we could further refine, things like that. We're more than happy to have those discussions, but at this point in time, we would recommend to denial of the petition.
Thank you, Tom. Questions, comments by commissioners? Motion. We need a motion again.
Gary.
Commissioner Beath. Yes.
I grew up in the Black Hills all my life and was an avid fisherman when I was a kid and up until now. And I have noticed a big decrease in the amount of beaver ponds and stuff in our creeks in the hills, and was in the beaver dams on Jim Creek, Bogus Jim, Castle Creek, South Slate Creek. And now you very rarely see a beaver anywhere in those streams. And I would kind of like to see the trapping of beaver in the central Black Hills curtailed or cut back if ever possible. Thanks.
Sure. Other comments? Questions?
Chairman,
Mr. Spring.
I would like to say, you know, in the rural plains area in South Dakota that they can be a super nuisance because they'll move into an area where there is shelter and trees and they'll completely clear it out. And out in a lot of this area, trees are very valuable, sheltered for the livestock and whatever. They can be a real nuisance out here. I think it, like Commissioner B said, in the Black Hills it might be a good deal, but out here it's not. You don't want an overpopulation of beaver out in this country.
Can I mention something about that? This is Christy Sandvik.
Actually, we're trying to limit it now to comments and questions from the commission.
Oh, okay, because this doesn't interfere with the rule that allows you to take nuisance beavers any time of the year.
Okay. So, do we have any other comments, questions from commissioners? Not, we need a motion. Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, I move to deny.
Is there a second?
Okay.
All right. Any more discussion? If not, Rachel, will you call the roll?
East?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
All in favor to deny.
All right, so we're going to go.
Chairman, we'll get a resolution drafted for you and the commissioners for review, and Commissioner Beast will continue those conversations with you in respect to your comments of beavers in the Black Hills, and we'll have local staff reach out to you and continue that conversation. So,
okay, thank you.
Chairman, moving on to the last petition, correct?
Yes.
The Lake
Town. Right.
Again, thanks for bringing this one forward in the conversation around Lake Chubbs. And visiting with staff on this particular item, certainly can understand the concerns that are brought forward. First to admit, from the perspective of having a lot of information available on this particular species of Lake Chubb, we don't have a lot. In looking back over the past probably 5 to 10 years, more of our efforts in respect to some of these fishery species have been on others than on the Lake Chub in terms of monitoring and gathering information and such. So We'd be in full admittance to you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. From the standpoint of some of the best science and information, we have some additional work to do to gather that information because we currently don't have it in front of us. That being said, just because we don't have that information, would offer to you that does not necessarily preclude the step to go ahead and put on the state endangered list. We are communicating and will continue to communicate with Forest Service staff in respect to this particular topic. I know they have a high interest in lake chub and other fishery species as well, in particular native fish species, and it is a sensitive species on the Forest Service side of it. What I will offer to you in visiting with our fishery staff, and this has been on their radar, over the next couple of years, next 2 to 3 years, there's going to be a higher level and a concerted effort switching from some other fish species to lake chub and a few other ones to identify, do some additional monitoring and sampling out there in multiple streams, in particular out there in the Black Hills in western South Dakota. So we do have that on our radar, and that is going to be some of our focus efforts moving forward. So because we have limited information right now and knowing full well, we fully expect that our staff is going to be working on doing sampling and monitoring in several locations in western South Dakota. Our recommendation to you would be to deny the petition at this point in time, and let us have that opportunity to go out and do our work, collect more information, do more sampling, and then based on that information, continue to have that discussion and determine should it or should it not be merited to put or consider for the state's endangered listing status. So that, Mr. Chairman, we would ask for your consideration of denial. Let us do our work, and then we will come back and report to the commission 2-3 years after we have that opportunity to do that concerted effort of obtaining more information. With that, myself or other fishery staff will try to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Questions, comments?
Commissioner Beesier, this might be an answer or a question for the staff, fishery guys, but creek chubs and lake chubs, are they the same as what we're talking here in the creeks?
John Lott or Dino Adams, one of you answer that question, please.
Tom, this is Chelsea Pasberg. I'm the non-game aquatic biologist for the state. I can answer that question for you. Creek chub and lake chub are two separate species. However, they do look very similar in appearance. So there is some question about some of the historic records for lake chub in the past in the hills with misidentification. And unfortunately, we do not have voucher specimens to confirm or deny that. But that's why we're asking for more time to spend the next couple years to extensively look at lake chub as well as some other rare species in the Black Hills.
The reason I asked that question is because I had an individual here a few years ago, and I've known him quite a while, did a lot of trapping of what we call creek chubs, and he would trap them all the way from the Belfouche and every creek that came out of the Black Hills all the way down to Hot Springs had what we considered were creek chubs, and they were quite plentiful in all these creeks. I know they cycle up and down because they come through my ranch. I got about 8 miles of French Creek running through the ranch here. And on years that we had higher creek chubs in the creek, we always had blue herrings nesting here by my house. And we haven't had that for a few years, but now they're back nesting here again. So I believe that population of those creek chubs are back up here in French Creek. So I was just wondering if there was a difference between the two types of fish.
Yeah, thanks for answering that, Chelsea. And I would offer to you, commissioners, we're very fortunate to have Chelsea on staff. She is probably our lead expert on these various native fish species, and many of them are very, very difficult to identify. And Chelsea would certainly be part of this effort moving forward the next couple of years. So
any other questions or comments? If not, we need one more motion.
Beast moves.
Commissioner Beast moves to deny, I think he said. Is there a second?
Second, Sharp.
More discussion? If not, Rachel, will you call the roll again?
Heath?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, for the discussion on those petitions. We will draft and bring forward to you three resolutions in respect to those three petitions. Likely get those in front of you tomorrow to take the final action on the resolutions.
Okay, thanks. So let's